Nadine. She's a reporter from Fox 5. From Fox 5. Now, how will this work, Nadine? You're going to tape some segments, and these segments that you're taping right now, will these air back on the news tonight?
It will air this morning.
This morning.
And tonight.
Okay,
holy
cool.
Moly.
Ooh. And then you will...
On the internet, you'll be on Fox 5, which you always watch. Look at that.
Right on. Yeah.
Good?
Did you happen to get any shots of all the people that were outside?
I'm going to be out there right after I leave here.
That's right.
Oh.
Get your lav on, bro.
Yeah.
I know TV.
Yeah, lav it up.
I'm on, Get your lava lamp.
I'm on with Lazovic every once in a while.
Okay, we know.
So what you do, you put it through your shirt, Mike, so that you
know. Yeah, and you're also
you don't
on
want
Renegade.
The wire to show.
We know.
Oh, you saw that episode.
I did not.
No, none of us saw it.
It was really good.
Awesome. Yeah. It was a good episode.
Nobody saw it.
Did you know that I was on Renegade?
Leave Nadine alone.
Don't bother her.
Cool. Well, if you want to interview me separately about that. Because me and Lorenzo Lamas, he's low.
Nadine,
we still have a great relationship.
He was an extra, Nadine.
I mean,
he was like way in the back.
Way
he didn't
in the
even
back.
Have a speaking.
I was the co-star.
No line.
He was.
Special guest star.
All right, so.
What are you drinking?
Just Bloody Mary. No deal. Gotta keep awake.
Oh, you are so weird right now.
You think this is weird? Wait till 4 a.m.
I'm on it.
And is Jay in the room or is he not in here?
He just walked out.
Okay, because I'm wanting to make sure that we're getting, for the website that we could start sending people there if they, to donate money. Because you're going to be able to donate money to Children's Hospital. Is it?
Yep.
Where are you?
You go underneath the live stream and it says make a donation and it has different denominations.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, tell me.
We're doing the 28-hour show for a couple reasons. The main reason is to raise money for Children's Hospital. Last year, we raised $14,000, and this year we want to shatter that. We want to blow that up. So we're asking people to go to MikeyShow.com. When you get to MikeyShow.com, there's going to be a link to click on. It says 28-hour show. And when you click on that link, it'll take you right to a spot where you can donate money, and you can use your credit card. And it's real easy. We've made it really easy.
Why is it important?
You know, I think Children's Hospital has become as much a part of San Diego as the San Diego Zoo. It's synonymous with everything San Diego, the San Diego Zoo or SeaWorld. It's as much a part of our culture here in San Diego as those things. And so we're just we just want to support them. This is our second year doing that, and we're just hoping to be able to raise a lot of money. I got a 2-year-old kid, and you know, anybody with kids, or even if you don't have kids, you can believe in what they do down there. So that's why we're doing it.
How do you stay awake?
Well, we've learned from experience not to go the caffeine route.
Oh, man.
So, except I did today.
Well, Ashley did today.
Yes, I wear mouse traps in my underwear.
That's a good idea.
So, yeah.
It helps. Well, you know.
That'll work.
Wakes me up.
I put them there.
But we don't drink any coffee. No, because if you drink the caffeine, it makes you crash.
Yeah.
And so we don't drink any caffeine. And tomorrow morning, maybe, when we're trying to get into those last few
hours.
But tonight is when it's going to get rough. Mm. Tonight it's going to get rough. About midnight. See, most of us go to bed pretty early and get up at about 3 a.m. And so it's going to be pretty gnarly because we take naps. We're like little old men and women. And we take little nappy poos during the day.
Not
and we won't
today.
Be able to.
No.
Won't be able to
don't
do that today.
Not at all.
Never once.
Truth of the matter is, yes, we do get tired of each other during those 28 hours. But that's part of the fun. I mean, part of it is that we have to. The Mikey Show is a lot like a reality show on the radio anyway. And so you get the real deal when you're listening to us, and you're going to see 7 different, very different personalities playing out over the next 28 hours. There are always surprises, so who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? It could be very, very volatile.
The really cool thing is you guys are broadcasting online, and I was hearing this morning people are calling in from all over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have listeners all over the country. Some of them have, you know, come here, lived in San Diego and moved. Mm-hmm. Some of us have heard about our show word of mouth. I mean, it's crazy. We'll get calls from, like you heard, North Carolina, Seattle, mm-hmm. up in the Bay where we used to work. I mean, all over the place, Arizona.
Yeah, Texas. Still have listeners.
Yeah, we identify our listeners as P1s, and P1 stands for Priority One. And when they call in, they turn their radio down, get to the point, and don't cuss. And there are P1s everywhere. And they are exclusive Mikey Show listeners. And you can see, like, if you go outside and you look around, our listeners are the most rabid, faithful, just absolutely loyal fans I've ever seen in radio. They're nuts.
If you get bit by one, you have to get rabies shots. I'm not kidding.
Immediately.
I'm not kidding. A series of shots.
Immediately.
Because they're crazy.
They are. And they're what you're seeing outside right now is just a very, very small percentage of what's coming. Tonight, it will look like
Woodstock.
Like Woodstock.
So people can come this whole time.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, they have asked the radio station building to please carpool today because there's going to be so many people that will show up during the course of the day.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a lot of events outside. Like, we're going to be, the movies we watch in the middle of the night, we'll be screening out there on a big screen. We're going to be doing like a
singing competition, like American Idol.
Yeah, we call it Mikey Idol, and we all sing and perform, and we have judges.
Stop it. Don't act like that.
Hey.
We know what you're doing, Nadine.
Yeah, we know.
You're doing.
I'll sing if you sing. How about that?
Nadine, why don't you do a duet with Eddie?
There you go. Come on.
You guys can sing together.
How about Ebony and Ivory?
No.
Wait.
Eddie, I think she's trying to trick you into singing and that she can cleverly edit your
performance. Oh, really?
Oh, the media. Wow. Yeah. The media.
Typical.
The media.
Great.
Well, I think that you're going to see as the day goes on that this is giant. This event is giant. We're doing so many events out there. Luckily, we got a weather forecast. It's only going to be 176 degrees today.
Yeah, no big deal.
It should be really nice to be out there. Also, Nadine, in an hour from now, I'm going to be running with the bulls.
Okay, what does that mean?
You've seen that over in Spain, right?
You've seen that in Pompelona, right?
I'd like to know what your version is.
Our version.
What do you mean?
Our version is that we're going to have me, you know, dressed up in a little Pompelona getup. And then
I think it's called a gaucho.
I'm going to be dressed in a gaucho.
Is that what it's called? I don't know. I just made that up.
Gaucho March?
Yeah, that's a good fake fact.
Thank you.
I don't either, but I'm pretty good at going with fake stats.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll be wearing a gaucho.
It's a gaucho outfit.
Gaucho outfit.
So you got the glasses, the nose, the mustache.
Exactly.
That's Groucho.
Yeah. Ooh. And I will have two bulls in a cage, two caged bulls, Boston Rob and Zeth.
Wow.
And they will have horns, and they will have, what is it, the paw,
the hoof, the foot.
On their hands, and they're going to chase me, and I'm going to run from them, and they're going to build a little maze for me to run through outdoors, and it's going
to
be great.
Yeah, Mikey claims he always wanted to go to Spain to run with the bulls.
We don't buy it
for a second, so mm-hmm. This is a little test run.
ID. We have to ID.
Oh,
let's do a quick
ID.
Legal ID.
You're listening to the 28-Hour Mikey Show, brought to you by Johnsonville Brats on KIOZ, San Diego's Rock 105.3.
The following takes place between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m.
The word of the hour is you.
There it is. The word of the hour is you. Hopefully you got the word of the hour last hour. Mm. And
keep track.
That's right.
Something big.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Zeth just instant messaged me.
What?
It says, tell Nadine to please bid on me during the auction. She's hot.
Okay.
We're going to be auctioning off Zeth later today,
Zeth.
Nadine.
I'm not.
He is 23 years old, single, attractive, and we're going to auction him. Bidding starts at 25 cents.
Yeah.
Oh, newly single.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
There you go.
All right.
Well, he's on the market and can be had cheap. And
there may be competition.
And by the way, I just want to let you know that whoever wins the auction with Zeth today, we're going to be sending them to dinner tonight.
Mm-hmm. Oh. But there may be some competition out there for Nadine. I just saw a sign that says, "Marry me, please, mustache."
Wow. That's right. Mikey Show fans are gathered outside. And like I said, a small fraction of what will be showing up later today.
Yeah.
A small fraction of what will be here. Let me just give you a little bit of what we're
going to... Oh, Annie, I knew that was going to be a disaster.
That's not good. Bad sign.
I want to give you a little bit of what to expect over the next 28 hours.
Okay, a little preview.
All right.
What do we got?
Well, like I said, in an hour, I'm going to be running with the Bulls. This hour, you can expect Ed Begley Jr. on
the air. Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Eddie, Ricky Rackman's going to be on?
Wow, dude.
What is that?
Oh, that's awesome.
So crazy.
I had a theme.
Wait. Chances Nadine knows who Ricky Rackman is.
Come on.
She's so young.
I was going to say zero.
She's young.
But she's...
Nadine, how old are you? She's not telling.
14.
My birthday's this weekend.
She's going to be...
Oh. Yeah,
she's finally going to be able
here
to vote.
Yeah.
Oh. Nadine looks very young.
Yeah.
You know who Ricky Rackman is? No, she looks very mature. Like she could be an anchor at Fox's New York affiliate.
At the anchor desk. Yeah,
definitely. In
she's
New
the
York.
Next Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
That's right.
Wait, Dr. Phil?
I don't know.
No.
I'm just trying to.
Wait a minute. Kill the music. I am learning stuff right now. This is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Nadine, in television, it's not better to look young.
Don't ask.
I thought it's better to look young.
Well, then looks like I'm doing pretty good.
No, honestly, in radio, it's better to sound younger.
Yeah.
I think I just knocked off my lav.
Oh.
Nope.
I knocked off the
she
lab.
She looks young. No, she looks youthful, yet we can tell by her demeanor she's very mature and educated.
Right.
Yeah.
Nadine,
yeah.
Is it better to look a little bit more older and distinguished in
what
television?
Do you think, your viewer?
I would definitely think that it's better to look younger and more attractive. Youthfulness is usually what draws people to watch television.
Yeah, I would tune in and watch you.
Nadine, is that incorrect, though? Nadine, is that wrong?
No, I think it's wonderful.
She's not being honest.
Yeah, what's going on?
You're very coy.
Well, when I said Nadine looks really young, she's like, no, don't say that.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, man, I thought that was the deal. You're supposed
to. It is good.
Okay.
It is good. Okay.
So does she, does she know who
Nadine, I did mess this up. Yeah. Do you know who Ricky Rackman is?
No.
That's right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Ricky Rackman used to be on MTV, and he was also, he did a lot of rock shows.
He was the,
host
of,
he's still around.
Well, he did Headbangers Ball for years.
Can you help me?
And he just recently hosted the Rock of Love.
Oh, that's right.
Bret Michaels season finale thing.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's still around, and the reason why he's coming on today is he's hosting some new show called the Rock of Love Girls Charm School. Where Sharon Osbourne is going to teach the Rock of Love girls how to be human, I guess.
Yeah.
Classy.
Rock of Love was the...
Bret Michaels. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I heard they had to cancel that his... He was going to do...
Well, they postponed.
They postponed.
Yeah.
Herpes?
No. Yeah. Tragic story. One of his drivers got in an accident, a car accident, and killed some kids while he was transporting
all the production stuff.
God. For Rock of Love, and so
for bringing
they
us down.
Put the whole show on hold.
All right, guys, we'll testimony, and we'll see it all. There it is. I had a question. Okay. Since we have to do everything on the air, you know, there's not really a way for us to normally what we would do is we would go into commercial, and I would be able to talk to people about stuff, but we can't really do that in this environment because we're on for 28 straight hours, so I have to ask questions on the air.
Okay.
So here's my question to either Sean or Jay. Can we make it to where when you sign on to MikeyShow.com, you see something that says donate to Children's Hospital right here?
Yep.
That takes you right to it because... right now you can donate, but you got to click on that banner. And I just want people to be able to see it as soon as they get to the thing.
Make it as easy as possible.
Make it as easy as possible to be able to donate. We want to break the $14,000 mark that we set last year.
And you want that to click right to the donation screen, right?
That'd be awesome.
All right.
That'd be awesome. Okay, so Ed Begley Jr. is coming up. Ricky Rackman is coming up. The Charger Girls have asked if they could come by and promote something that they have going on.
Cool.
Don't mind if I do.
We also have the Battle of the Sexes payoff.
Finally.
Oh.
Whatever.
Team Crass, you guys.
It's SASS. It's S-A-S. SASS.
The girls. Oh. The girls lost.
I'm sure you were really confused.
I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Sky, Chantel, and Ashley lost over a period of time. Hey, George Chamberlain's here. Come on in, George. Hey.
Oh, yay.
George Chamberlain is here.
Hi,
George,
George
is our money guy.
George is like, what is going on?
Yeah. Look out.
I'll get back to, in just a little bit, I'll get back to what we're going to be doing.
Okay.
Are we all done?
I'm going to go talk to everyone.
Okay, cool, cool.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate
you look
it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Don't say that.
I'm trying to help her. No, I don't know what to
you
say.
Never say
you look
that
young.
Woman.
You look old. Like, what does she want?
I'm a girl. I don't know what I'm
You look very
you're gorgeous.
Did you hear what she
For
said?
Your age.
Yes. Did you hear what she said?
What? I don't know what I want.
I'm a girl. I don't know what I want.
Amen to you, sister.
How recently single are you? Like, as in last night?
No.
This last weekend?
Couple weeks ago.
Was it him or you?
Me.
You said bye?
Yes.
Atta girl.
Hmm. Well, wait a minute. Why was that such
I'm
a surprise?
I'm leaving now.
Wait, wait, wait.
She's like, running out
have a
the
seat.
Door.
I need to go talk to the fans.
How long? 1 year? You guys have been dating 1 year or 2 years?
Come on.
Sorry, George.
George is dying to know.
Yeah,
interesting
really
conversation
to
walk into the middle of, yeah.
And good luck.
Thanks. Thank you. Lady. Are you going to come back and interview us again?
I feel like
that's
we didn't
no.
give you
that's
enough.
No. Yeah, I don't. Do you have enough
We're
to put us?
Thinking of maybe coming tonight too.
Okay.
Because this will air tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It will also
be good to have her on a mic.
In the morning.
That's not how we roll, George.
Okay.
Yeah. That would be professional,
George. Yeah, sorry. Please, George. Okay. That would sound good. Come on.
Goodbye.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Thanks, Nadine.
Thank you, Nadine. George Chamberlain is here, and I'm really glad.
Yeah.
George Chamberlain is our money guy, and he breaks it down into regular person talk, which is great. That's what we need. And last night was the debates.
Yeah.
And the big topic of conversation, obviously, is the economy, because that's what everyone cares about right now.
Sure.
Everybody wants to know what's the deal with the economy. And so, let's see. Hey, Sean, can you give me clips if I ask for clips?
Sure.
Okay, let's do cut two.
Stand by 1 second. Here we go. Hold on.
From last night's presidential debate.
Really, the match that lit this fire was Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I'll bet you may never even have heard of them before this crisis. But, you know, they're the ones that, with the encouragement of Senator Obama and his cronies and his friends in Washington, that went out and made all these risky loans, gave them to people that couldn't never afford to pay back. And, you know, there were some of us that stood up 2 years ago and said, we've got to enact legislation to fix this. We've got to stop this greed and excess. Meanwhile, the Democrats in the Senate and some members of Congress defended what Fannie and Freddie were doing. They resisted any change. Meanwhile, they were getting all kinds of money and campaign contributions. Senator Obama was the second highest recipient of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac money in history,
Any truth to any of that?
Yeah, it probably is. I think most people had heard of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Yeah.
He got a lot of money. That's true. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt. And there is no doubt that some of his top economic advisors right now, Obama's top economic advisors, are the two people that were running Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's a pretty easy one for McCain to load up on.
Huh.
But, you know, listen, let me do something here, because I get so ticked off about a lot of this stuff. Let me just take you through a couple of things about home ownership in this country, okay?
Please.
All right. Of all people that own a home, a third of them, actually it's about 40% now, about 40% who live in a home that they own have no mortgage at all. The mortgage is completely paid off. 40% of people live in a home that's paid off.
40%?
The remaining 60%, 75% of them have a fixed rate mortgage. So less than 1/6 of all homeowners today have an adjustable rate loan. Of that 1/6, about 10% of them, less than 1%, have these so-called subprime loans.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The foreclosure rate in this country, if you take into the fact that of 40% of all people have a home, don't have a mortgage anymore, the actual foreclosure rate in this company about of people who have a mortgage is less than 2%. let's just stop it. Let's just stop all of this crap and get on with stuff. Let's just get on with stuff, okay?
Yeah.
I'm tired of this stuff.
Now, Sean had an interesting idea yesterday when he was, well, he had an interesting question. And I said, you know, let's ask George about that. Sean, tell George what your thought was and why, like, why don't they do this?
So my thought was, why don't, instead of trying to bail out all of these companies, why doesn't the government allow individual homeowners to go into some kind of a court, for example, like a bankruptcy court, and renegotiate the terms of their loans directly with the mortgage companies and bypass all of these bailout measures?
Yeah, and Sean said if they do that, that's got to be a better solution than them going into foreclosure, which is even costlier.
Taking possession of the home, trying to resell it, you know.
Well, just yesterday, we got an announcement from Bank of America, which now owns Countrywide, which was sort of the, you know, poster boy for bad loans.
Right.
And they're going to go to 400. This is, they didn't do this voluntarily. They settled a big lawsuit. They're going to go to 400,000 people in this country who have bad loans with Countrywide and say, come on in, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to fix your loan. We're going to set the loan at 90% of what your market value is today. Never mind what your loan is. Uh-huh. We're going to set it at 90% of what it is, and we're going to work out a deal on that where it'll then have a fixed rate associated with it. So, I mean, this is a big move here. This is a monster move, and I think a lot of others are going
to
follow.
That's one company that's doing it right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Others, I think, are going to follow.
Couple of questions for you to explain to us because we don't understand. We're like cavemen trying to figure out this whole thing with money. So I'm going to give you a couple of terms, and you explain what it is.
Fire away.
What is a subprime mortgage? What is that?
Okay, well, let me begin. The easiest way to explain a subprime mortgage is to tell you what a prime mortgage is, okay?
Uh-huh.
A prime mortgage is the loan that a bank will give a customer with good credit.
Okay.
If you don't have good credit, you get a lesser quality loan, which means it's kind of a reverse cycle of thought here. Subprime means you get a more expensive loan, which means you're going to pay higher interest. You would think they would find a term that would imply higher interest. All instead right. of using subprime, which means below prime, you would think.
Like prime rib.
That would be good. What it means is that your credit is quality. Your credit quality is subprime quality. That means we'll give you a loan, but we're going to charge you a lot more interest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And is it true that about 10 years ago, the president felt like there were not enough people that were homeowners, and so he wanted to make sure that loans were getting out there and people were being able to buy homes?
All right. The statement is absolutely true if you replace the word president with Congress.
Congress.
It was Congress that made the decision, we need to increase home ownership, and we especially need to increase home ownership amongst people who can't afford a home and won't be able to make the payments.
Is that what got us into this?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Some things are being cleared up.
Yeah.
Here's another one for you. Sky said that when they were going to, when they said no to the first bill, about a week ago or whatever.
Right, right.
And they were trying to get the second one in, that the second one that they were trying to get through was going to get rid of something called the alternative minimum tax.
For 20 million Americans.
Okay.
For 20 million Americans. Do you know anything about that, George?
Sure, sure.
Is it gone or lessened?
No, it's a Band-Aid. Last year, see, Congress won't make any decisions now that are permanent. Every decision, financial decision that Congress makes is a temporary decision.
So how long will that take effect?
For one more year.
And it's gone?
No,
it's not gone.
What the alternative minimum tax goes back many years, and this is really, anyway, what they said is they found a lot of people, especially with real high incomes, who were finding ways to avoid paying taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And so Congress says, that's not going to cut it. Even if you avoid taxes, you're still going to have to pay some taxes. You're going to have to pay this alternative minimum tax, okay? Well, then, of course, as Congress is wont to do, they started messing around with that, and all of a sudden, people making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year are getting hit with this alternative minimum tax.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they did is they said, we'll go back and adjust it accordingly and protect those 20 million taxpayers or whatever out there from the tax for another year. And so that was due to end this year. And so that what they did is now they extended this protection for another year, and then they'll do it for another year and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably, the, of all the taxes out there, one of the eviler taxes.
Got it.
Yeah.
P1 Scooby's on the line and has a question for you. Okay. Scooby, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. What's up?
What's your question?
George, last night watching the debate, you know, Obama kept talking about this one thing and McCain kept talking about this one thing. What are earmarks? And, you know, what... You know, can you explain what earmarks are?
Yeah, an earmark, I don't know the exact reference to the term, but it's when you take a piece of legislation and you just sort of like use a paperclip and you attach another page to that piece of legislation that has some funding in there for one of the pet projects back in your congressional district. It's simply a way to attach another little amendment or adjustment to the legislation to get you reelected.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think Scooby? He thought we hung up on him.
Hello?
I see him out there, and he hung up.
Let me see. George, can you hang with us here a second? Or do
sure.
You, okay,
because no,
we,
good. I'm good.
We're going to take a, we have, because we're doing this 28-hour broadcast, things happen very spontaneously. We have Ed Begley Jr. on the line.
Oh, how cool.
Ed Begley Jr. Ed, are you there?
I'm right here. How you doing?
Yeah, we're great. How are you?
You're the best.
Listen, Ed, I have to tell you,
I love him.
Well, first of all, Sean and Sky are very excited.
Yes.
To have you on, and I'm excited to have you on as well. But they are liberal Democrats who believe in going green, and they love Ed Begley Jr.
Yes, you're so nice. Thank you all. That's very sweet.
Yeah. Now I am conservative Republican, but I still have to say I respect you because you walk the walk and you talk the talk.
And let me tell you something. I got all these green notions from my conservative Republican father. He was a conservative who liked to conserve. He never used the word environmentalist, but he was one. Turned off the lights, turned off the water, saved everything, got me in the Boy Scouts. Every lesson I learned that I talk about today, I got from my conservative dad.
Well, here's the deal. Ed Begley Jr. is a co-star of the new CBS show Gary Unmarried. And we're going to talk about the TV show, but I gotta guess that this is a cool thing for you because it gives you the opportunity when you're doing interviews for Gary Unmarried to kind of talk about what you believe in as far as going green.
Yeah, to talk about stuff that worked for me and stuff that I did in a modest budget, Mikey. What I did was, in 1970, I was a struggling actor. I was broke. I couldn't afford any solar panels, solar anything, for 20 years. I did cheap and easy stuff that was good for my bottom line, that was fiscally responsible, and I not only did it for the environment, but I saved money, everything that I did. And those possibilities are available today. There's lots of choices for people. Energy-saving thermostat, a ceiling fan, weather stripping, bike riding if weather and fitness permit, public transportation if it's available near you, home gardening, home composting, all that stuff, cheap and easy. And you start there, you'll save the environment and save money.
Now, from what I understand, Ed, my constituents here on the Mikey Show, they tell me that even though you are a successful actor, you live in a very modest size home.
Yeah, it's 1,600 some odd square feet. It's a very small home. It's a 1936 energy inefficient two-bedroom home that I made very energy efficient. I just said about doing the cheap and easy stuff first and built and finally put up solar this and solar that. But now it's it is a modest-sized home, and it's the way I was raised with my dad. We always lived in a two-bedroom home, and so it was not a big upheaval for me to live in a two-bedroom home. And it's a great way to live because now, God help me, if the acting stops, I can live the rest of my days in comfort because of decisions that I made, financial and otherwise, years ago.
Very smart guy.
Well, thank you. Lucky too.
Ed Begley Jr. is on the phone with us. He's got a new TV show called Gary Unmarried. It actually airs on CBS tonight at 8:30.
Yeah, I watch it.
And, okay, so let me tell you why Eddie and I love you a lot. Eddie's my producer. And that is your association working with Christopher Guest.
He's the best. There's nobody funnier. There's nobody better. Chris Guest is just terrific and best in show, Mighty Wind, for your consideration.
All genius.
Yes.
Is so good. Waiting for Guffman, which I was not in, and that's my favorite of them all. You know, I'm unbiased. Really a good movie. You know, he's great, and I love working with him.
Now, for those of you that are not familiar, first of all, you got to go out and rent every movie that
Ed just
mentioned.
Yeah.
Best in show.
Yes.
Best in Show is probably my favorite.
I agree.
Busy B.
That's right. And in Best in Show, Ed Begley Jr. plays a hotel employee.
Yeah.
And he's very courteous. And I'm telling you, you nail this role.
You're very kind, Mikey. You
nail this role. And my question to you is because these movies are something that I call a mockumentary.
Right.
They are made to look like a documentary, but in fact are a comedy, right. You know, with actors. Yeah. And when Christopher Guest directs you, is there an actual script or does he say, this is where we're going in the scene, have fun?
There's a 25-page outline that he and Eugene Levy write. They do all the heavy lifting, writing the outline. Then we come in, Michael Higgins, me, Catherine O'Hara, everybody comes in, and you just go, okay, this is a scene where Jerry and Cookie Fleck, which is Eugene and Catherine, they're going to try to check in the hotel. The credit card doesn't work. You guys ready? Let's try one. Okay, here we go. Action. And hi, welcome to the hotel, and blah, blah, blah. And it's all improv. It's all made up. So it's really fun. You can't forget your lines because you're making up your lines as you go.
Ed, how long how many takes would you say that you do before you finally kind of get loose and comfortable and you're able to kind of get into a rhythm of just being relaxed and having fun and being funny? Or does that happen from take one?
From take one, I find myself very relaxed. We usually do 3 takes of most scenes, and sometimes it's the first take that's printed and winds up in the movie, sometimes the second or third. But he usually winds up doing 3 takes, different sizes, it's very fun and easy work, I'll be honest with you.
Now, tell me about your show, Gary Unmarried. What is the show about, and tell us about how you came to this program.
They asked me to read the script. They wanted me to come in and audition, and I did. It was such good material. I was happy to audition for it. Jay Moore is terrific, as you probably know.
He's an old friend of ours, actually. Jay has been on the show many times.
Mm-hmm. He's so good. He was great in Jerry Maguire. He was great in Go. He was great in Action, that wonderful series, and a great stand-up. So I heard he was involved. I was very much inclined to be part of it. And he brings so much to the project. He comes up with 10 new lines a show that aren't in the script, and a lot of them wind up in the final edit. He keeps it alive for the audience between takes. He's just an amazing guy. He's off book early on. He knows his lines. It's a real treat to work with him. Very, very funny, very dedicated guy.
That sounds great. The show's on tonight at 8:30 on CBS. It's called Gary Unmarried, and we're talking to Ed Begley Jr. Ed, is it true that you will ride your bicycle to the lot to film stuff?
I do. I regularly ride my bike, or I walk over to work. I live close enough to work now with Gary Unmarried. I can walk over there. But, yeah, I would ride to distant locations often on a bicycle. But now I guess good karma or something. Now I get to walk to work. It's so close.
What would you say is the farthest distance that you've ridden a bicycle to get to work?
I can tell you that because I remember vividly. I was doing a movie with Hulk Hogan, if you can believe that.
Oh.
95 or 6.
Was it Mr. Nanny?
What was it called? It was called Santa with Muscles.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that. That was a good one.
Santa with Muscles. And I think it was 96. Yeah, it was 96. And I would ride my bike over from Studio City to Fillmore, California. That was about 60 miles, maybe 50. No, it was 58 miles. I went to ride from there to Ojai. So it was a nice ride.
A nice ride?
A nice ride.
Whoa.
No, it wasn't. No, that's a long way.
I just rode 69 miles, almost 70 miles the other day with Road to Recovery, this thing to help disabled veterans.
Wow.
From Ventura, California, the VA hospital. Gary Sinise was there, and I was there helping disabled veterans. This wonderful thing, Road, then the numeral 2, Road to Recovery. So check that out. Help them out if you can.
Awesome.
And I just did a 70-mile ride on Saturday, so I love to ride.
Man. And then at the house, I'm assuming you recycle everything. What do you do with water? Do you recycle any of your water?
I'm going to put in, very good question, I have not yet installed it, but I'm going to in the coming weeks install what's called a gray water system. It takes the water from the shower, from the bathroom sink, and from the laundry. Those 3 things, they filter it slightly, and then you can use it to water your lawn and other plants. You can't use it for drinking, of course. You can't use it for, you could use it to flush your toilet or for certain irrigation purposes, and that's what I'm going to do with it.
Yeah, and
I also
Ed has
my rainwater.
Yeah, Ed has the rain catchers.
Yep.
The rain catchers.
I got a rain barrel under the downspout from the rain gutters, and I collect rainwater, use that to water the plants.
Yeah,
so there's lots of different ways you can save water as we move more and more into this drought condition. We need to start thinking about that.
Now, Ed, after watching that episode, and don't get upset,
yeah,
I really liked Bill Nye's rain catcher better than yours. I'm very sorry because his was pretty and yours was a little ghetto. But
you're
right. But they both do the same thing.
I can't argue when the truth slaps you in the face. You've got to agree with it.
They both do the same thing. And so I looked online to try and find the real cool one that Bill Nye has. Yeah. And it's made, the only one I could find is made on the East Coast. And I feel guilty shipping from the East Coast here.
All that fuel, I know what you're saying. We got to have some made on the West Coast. Here's the thing, you can go beyond both of those things. Either rain barrel, I'm going to put an underground cistern there.
I know.
Save all that rainwater, then you don't have to look at it at all.
I wish I could, but then you need a big old backhoe. You got to dig it out.
There's a lot of work involved with that. I haven't done it yet myself, but I intend to do it. Let's see if I do.
Okay. I like you.
Is stuff grow okay with rainwater?
It does.
Well, out of a gutter, I thought he said.
A potable roof. You have to have a roof that has the right kind of roofing material. Composite roof doesn't work that well for certain plants. I've learned that the hard way.
Mm.
But if you have a metal roof, a terracotta tile roof, certain roofs are much better to collect rainwater, and you have to have the right kind of roof. That's important.
Hey, Ed, we're talking to Ed Begley Jr., who's super green, and I always wanted to know if you green dudes, if you all get together, like Leo DiCaprio, do you guys all know each other, all the green guys?
He's a friend of mine. I guess showing him his first electric car in 1990. We did a series together. He played my nephew in a series called Parenthood. He was a very young and relatively unknown actor.
Isn't he just the most down-to-earth guy, Ed?
Down-to-earth.
I mean, he's
you just
so
talked to him for like
genuine
5 minutes,
and saying, just
the
real.
The girl that's speaking right now, Ed, actually met him one time at a nightclub in Las Vegas, and he talked to her for 5 minutes, and she feels they're friends now, so it's kind of uncomfortable.
We're sorry, Ed.
Anyway, hey, listen, Ed, thank you for taking the time.
You're the best.
The show is called Gary Unmarried. It airs on CBS tonight at 8:30. And Ed Begley Jr. walks a walk and talks a talk.
Thank you, Mikey. Thank you, gang.
All right, we'll see you.
Bye.
There he is. There he is. It's Ed Begley Jr.
Wow. Now, does it mean, or would it? It seems like it would cost more money to get all the things that you need to go green than you'd actually save.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, you know, initially up front. But if you're going to stay in that house for a couple years, you're going to recoup those costs plus more, plus save the environment.
We'll see.
It's like buying a hybrid. You pay a little more up front, but if you have it for the long.
Do your roof. You got
to
get these gutters.
You don't have to get gutters. All you do is you get a barrel. All you got to do is get a barrel. You cut into your gutter, and you put the barrel under the gutter that you cut.
Sounds great, Sky.
Thank you, Sean.
Let's get back to talking to George Chamberlain.
Please.
Who is in the
studio.
By the
way, Guffman is my favorite movie.
Guffman's funny,
it's
too.
It's an incredibly funny movie.
Waiting for Guffman is funny.
You know who he's married to, Christopher Guest, is?
Who?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Let's take a couple of calls. People want to know stuff from our money guy, George Chamberlain, who's in the studio with us. P1 Summer, are you there?
I am.
What's your question?
I am wondering what debt negotiation does to your credit score.
Yeah, great question. And I know some people real close who have recently gone through that. What she's talking about is going to a credit counseling service like Springboard is a great one here in San Diego, nonprofit group called Springboard. Another one is Consumer Credit Counseling Services. They're another very good one. I've worked with these people over the years, done a lot of stuff with them. And what they do it doesn't cost anything. It costs maybe $20 to do this or something like that. What they do is they then work with your credit companies and rearrange your debt in a very appropriate way. They are able to restructure the interest you pay and it really works out very smooth and very efficiently and allows you to probably pay off debt in about 4 years where it would take you otherwise your lifetime to pay the stuff off. So anybody that's in credit, sweating bullets over credit cards, you need to get in touch with one of these people. It really, it may have a little bit of a short-term impact on your credit score, but long-term, the benefits are enormous. And listen, if you're going through consumer credit counseling, you don't need to be borrowing any money out there, so you don't really need to worry too much about what the short-term hit on your credit score is going to be. You want to get it done, and it's viewed by credit companies as a very positive step that you're going through this stuff. So I encourage everybody to do it rather than go the bankruptcy route.
Okay.
Hey, thanks. Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Yeah,
I hope Boston Rob heard that.
Yep.
You know, because you don't want to do that. That bankruptcy thing, it
it's
kills
nasty.
You, right?
It's just nasty, yeah.
Let's see. Let's take a couple more. P1, Tiffany, you there?
Yes, I am.
What's your question for George Chamberlain?
My question is, I have a subprime mortgage, and I heard since the bailout that we might be able to refinance what our house is worth now.
Sure.
Instead of what we bought it for.
Yeah.
4 years ago, and if that's true, how would I go about that?
Go to this website. Go to Hope, the word Hope, for, the word for, F-O-R, Hope for owner home ownership.
Hope for home ownership.
Yeah, hopeforhomeownership.com. This is a brand new program that just went into effect last week, and it's exactly like I sort of described the situation with Countrywide. You'll work with them. They will refinance your home at 90% of the current market value, never mind what your loan is now. And then restructure it with a fixed rate loan. It's a marvelous program. Mm.
It doesn't matter what my credit currently is because I used to be self employed and I just went back into the teaching profession, so my credit isn't spectacular.
Actually, that sort of works in your favor.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, thank you very much. Let's take another question from P1 Paul. Are you there, Paul?
Yes.
What's your question?
George, I'm in the middle of a pretty nasty divorce right now, and we have a piece of real estate that we're upside down on. Now, it's a fixed interest, or it's a fixed rate loan, so it's not one of those interest-only things, but she wants to keep the condo. I don't. Am I better to force her into selling it and taking on half the debt of what we're upside down, or is it a better option to, if it gets to that point, declare bankruptcy? Because it's about $50,000 or $60,000 that we're upside down right now.
Well, I tell you what. I mean, if she really wants to stay there, and you know, depending on what your settlement says, she's got to buy you out on the thing. So, you know,
right. The problem is she can't refinance,
of course,
her own. So I either have to leave my name on the condo and hope that she's making the payments, because I don't want it to damage my credit a couple of years down the line.
Well, that's probably the worst case scenario. That's probably the last thing you should do.
Right. So just how do I get her to take my name off the condo without forcing her to sell it, though?
You get an attorney.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
There's no easy way to do this. If it was, everybody would do it. You're going to have to go back and have you settled the divorce? Is everything settled up?
We have our hearing this month.
Oh, well, there you go. That's when you get it dealt with.
All right.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot. Thanks.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have any questions? Anybody have any questions for George?
I just want to tell George that, you know, with him coming in the past couple of weeks, it really fired me up. And I actually have an appointment next Friday with a buddy of mine who's a financial planner.
Good.
And is going to get me starting investing.
Look at you.
So. You know, like we talked, it's so easy to get started as an investor right now. You know, I go into a Starbucks right down the corner from here. You guys know which one. And I go in there every morning right as it's opening at 4:30. I'm usually have my nose pressed against the window waiting for him to unlock the door, you know.
Yeah.
And so there's a group of us that hit there at 4:30. And I was walking out this morning and one of the other guys was coming in. He goes, You must have right now like the most interesting and exciting job out there that there is with everything that's going on. I said, yeah, it's pretty cool. And one of the things I try to do is keep my own emotions out of what's going on right now. But I am as scared as everybody else is right now. I'm as ticked off about what's going on right now as everybody else is. I mean, one of my core holdings in my portfolio yesterday just got massacred. I on paper, I lost a lot of money yesterday.
Mm.
And but you know what? We'll get through this thing. You know, we'll get through all of this stuff, and it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
Do you just kind of mentally say, hey, 4 years from now, this will be a totally different story, and just stay where you are and don't move?
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. You know, that's really what it comes down to. You know, if you have money in the stock market and you think you're going to need that money in a year or two, you probably might want to go ahead and get out of the market right now. It's just, it might not, you know, I think you'll be okay, but I'm not sure. So it's not worth the risk, okay?
Yeah.
So get out of the thing now and just put it in the bank and leave it alone. Everything's going to be fine. And, but otherwise, you know, stay the course. Keep putting money in your 401k. Go for it. You're going to and find that thing in your life that gives you a little bit of comfort and joy.
Hey, P1 New Yorker, are you there?
Yes.
What's your question?
I got $10,000. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I got $10,000 coming out of a CD in about a month, and I want to buy a house in about a year, and I want to know what I should do with it now.
Yeah, it's simple. You put it in a CD. You know, go ahead. I would probably go get a 12-month CD. You're going to get a better interest rate on that than if you put it into a 3 or 6 month. So go ahead. If you know you're not going to need it for a year, go ahead, put it in a 1-year CD. You'll get a decent rate. You won't have to worry about it at night. You'll be able to sleep, and the money will be there when you need it.
Hey, thanks.
There you go. Yeah,
nothing more. I mean, it's not very exciting, but that's what you got to do.
P1 Manny Fresh is
money,
on the line.
Money,
oh, my
God.
Oh,
wow. Money.
Let's see. Andrew is only 23 years old and has a question I don't even understand. Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, George, appreciate you answering the question.
Sure.
My question is, I'm 23 years old. I've got a pretty aggressive stock portfolio and a long investment horizon. So I've got a lot of years to invest. Don't need to pull the money out.
You bet.
Primarily in, tech stocks, Qualcomm, Apple, I also have a Vanguard index fund in there. Is there anything you suggest, in the coming months to kind of diversify the portfolio into something else, like bonds or treasuries or anything like that? Or am I good with my investment horizon to just stay in what I'm in?
At 23 years old, the last thing you want to do is buy any kind of bond. Man, now is when you put the pedal to the metal. You go into those high-risk tech stocks. You go for it right now. I mean, you've really got to do it because you're not going to want to do it when you're 53, so you do it when you're 23 years old. And, do you think Apple's going away? Do you think Qualcomm's going away? I don't think so. These are great American companies, and
no.
They are on sale right now. They're on sale. These stocks are on sale, man.
Hey, I got a question from my mother-in-law. She just wrote me, and you can explain this because I'm reading it, and I'm like, I don't get it. But she says, if you get this email in time, Mikey, please read this to George Chamberlain and ask him.
Okay.
She says, on 60 Minutes, they explained the role of credit default swaps, helped me understand what happened in the financial mess. How come nobody seems to be talking about it and explaining it? First of all, what is it, George? And what is she talking about? Yeah. And why?
Speak English.
Again, she says, how come nobody else seems to be talking about it and explaining it? What is it? George has a look on his face.
George
like,
doesn't like it.
He doesn't like it. Whatever it is, he don't like it.
You know, as someone recently said, that's way above my pay grade. there are so many games being played with these different types of finance, refinance, credit movements here. It's a trading strategy with these things where you take a bad loan and you swap it for a good loan, and there's tax benefits and all kinds of stuff involved in here. I don't get involved with this. It's not something I spend any time working with, but it has a big impact on where we are now. And as is always the case, there's a lot of benefits and a lot of negatives, but I really can't go into a lot of detail on it. I'll have to get out. I'll have to go TiVo or go to find the video and
YouTube
and
it.
YouTube it.
There you go, George.
Always works.
Sounds like it might be a little bit complicated.
Yeah.
Well, in any event, thank you very much.
If you have any more, fire away, but anytime I can help out, guys.
Oh, I'm telling you, George, it's so great having you here and having you in here every week because understanding this stuff is so hard for somebody like me that doesn't think in numbers.
Yeah.
I think in words, and I'm real good using English language, but I'm not very good when it comes to numbers. I'm terrible at it. And I know there's a lot of people out there that are good at numbers that don't even understand
it.
So
sure.
It's great to have you here to be able to break it down. So
I love the Begley interview. That was great. I remember one time when my kids were little, my son was a pretty handy guy.
Mm-hmm.
It still is. And I said one time we came home from the store and I said, hey, Tom, we bought this solar dryer, clothing dryer. So a clothing dryer. It's really cool. Can you want to help me install it? He said, yeah, that's great, Dad. It was a clothesline.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's good. I like it.
Thanks,
that's
guys.
Cool.
Thanks,
thank you, George. Okay.
That's you little money angel, you.
That's right.
The money angel.
You're a
show
money
me
angel.
The money.
Oh, Sky, you can't just scream that at him when he comes in here.
You say it, Sky.
You can't just scream it.
Calm down.
For goodness sake.
Show me the money.
Well, how about this?
Now it's time for the YouTube clip of the day.
Let's do the YouTube clip of the day.
Okay.
And actually, is this Ricky calling
it? It'll
probably be. Ricky Rackman will be on the air with us here in just a little bit. Here's the deal. There is a radio station in Jacksonville, Florida called WFYV. And apparently this guy, Greg Stepp, decided that he was going to tell off upper management and he was going to resign from his position, even though he knew he was going to be fired in the next couple of days. Cox Radio is who we work for. You ask me, these are not the best things. This is not a good thing to do.
No.
Because it may, well, let me put it this way. It may be if you work in the rock format and it's like a real, you know, like your whole persona on the air is that you're a rebel. But, and even then, it's a little iffy because people don't want to hire, you know, a hothead.
Mm-mm.
Like Boston Rob, you know? Like,
what?
Is it?
You can play it.
The clip. Okay, good. So, yeah, they don't want to hire a hothead. Because you don't know what they're going to do. They may go off the deep end. If he did it to them, he'd do it to you. Let me tell you, fellas, ladies, if you meet a guy and he has a history of cheating on his girlfriends, I don't know why you think you're different. If they have a history of doing that, unless there was a big giant change in their life that you saw, I don't know why you're thinking you're going to be any different. That's what happens. Mm-hmm. So, same concept. Cut 53.
All right, a few minutes ago, I was letting in on a little bit of information that I'm assuming was supposed to be secret, but I was told that I'm going to be let go on Friday after my show, and I have since then, I confirmed it, and you know what, I've decided to just say screw it and give the big middle finger to upper management instead of giving them the opportunity. So first, I want to say thank you to you for making the last 4+ years of my life great here in Jacksonville and on Rock 105. I couldn't think of anywhere better to work here in Jacksonville. I'm glad I got to work here during some great times and during some not so great times. And again, thank you, upper management, for the not so great times. But in the end, I would not trade any of it for the world. And I'm grateful we spent the time together. Now, Don Davis and Rob Barr and Jake and the rest of my family here that makes things happen on the air, you guys are the greatest. And I wish nothing but the best for all of you. Now, on to the problem. There is nothing worse than managers that think that radio people are like commodities to be used up and thrown away with. They're no longer valuable to the shareholders, which, by the way, I've been working at. I've been working without a contract.
Do we know why dude was let go? Do we know? Does anybody know?
I never heard why. Yeah.
Because, listen. Radio is a business. It's a business. It's just like any other business. I mean, it's like a jeweler.
Dude, it's not show friends, okay?
It ain't show friends, all right?
Yeah, baby.
If you're doing very well, then they're not going to fire you. And it applies to us, too, man. If our ratings stink, they're not going to keep us around because they think we're sweet people.
If you're a salesperson and you don't make any sales, you're going to get fired.
That's right, Eddie.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Here we go.
You want to know what third prize is? First prize is a Cadillac Eldorado.
Ooh, that's nice.
First prize, a Cadillac Eldorado. You want to know what sick prize is?
Second prize, a set of steak knives.
Second prize, a set of steak knives.
Really
wow. Third prize is you're fired.
Oh, wow. I'll take second prize.
That coffee down.
But I'm thirsty.
So you see,
the good news is you're fired.
He's upset at the upper management because they're going to let him go. And anybody, I guess you're going to be upset. You're not going to really want to get fired. You know what I mean? But I just want to know what the circumstances. I wish I knew what the circumstances were. You know, was he had bad ratings or they just decided to fire him because they didn't like him or they wanted to bring in somebody cheaper or what the deal is? Unpause.
Holders, which, by the way, I've been working at. I've been working without a contract. In good faith for the past few months in the hope that something would work out for me and I'd be able to work out something that would benefit both Cox Radio and my family. But obviously, that wasn't a priority. Now, I find out there's another deal in the works with somebody else and they're only minutes away from handing me my walking papers. Well, here's your 15-second note.
There's somebody else in the works.
So they're obviously signing somebody else.
Yeah, I got information right here.
Go ahead.
It says,
Greg Stepp of Rock 105 in Jacksonville, Florida, found out that he was being replaced by the legendary shock jock, the Grease Man, in his afternoon drive.
Hey,
Grease.
Yeah.
It says he was supposed to be fired on Friday, but he kind of took it into his own hands.
It's a grease man.
They're here.
It's a grease man. Oh, you're hobbling again.
Is that what he really does?
Yeah.
Oh, you swear?
For real, for
oh,
real.
Oh, that's like really him?
It's a grease man.
Become a lawman.
That's right.
Okay.
Let's see. Let's see if we have any. I could probably play this for you. Let's see.
Play some Grease, man.
That's right. Let me get you some Grease.
Greasy.
This guy, you guys remember BC and Woody?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Woody was an intern for the Grease Man.
That's right.
He is a very well-known syndicated dude.
And I've been hired and fired all over the U.S., man.
Yes, I've been on the air for 74 years.
I started WAPE Jacksonville.
That's right. Back 47 years ago, I was a friend of Marconi, as a matter of fact.
Oh, did you tell? By the way, I talked to you.
When's the last time somebody talked like that, by the way?
Never.
So, unpause.
Away from handing me my walking papers. Well, here's your 15-second notice, and especially you, Bill Hendrick, and David Israel, you two empty suits will be lucky if this is the only time this happens to you, and it's going to be a bright day in Jacksonville when your desks are emptied and radio is free of you. Now, this shows you how much they're paying attention, by the way, because they should have been in here by now, and if they were really listening to the radio stations and knew what was going on. So thanks for nothing. Rotten hell, Cox Radio. I am gone.
Oh, and he slapped the microphone, it sounds like.
Yeah, and then he walked out, and I guess there was like 30, 40 seconds of dead air while someone else ran in.
Wow.
It's kind of darky.
It said that like 20 seconds later, you could hear him slam the door, and then you can kind of hear somebody coming in and playing a song. Yeah.
That's where you go out in the blaze of glory, man.
Well, I'm actually ready to go, so, well, it was quite an introduction, but let's get the grease rolling.
Yeah.
Grease up your ears.
So there you go. That's your YouTube clip of the day.
Jeez.
Greg Stepp.
A baby.
So where is he now?
A baby. He's behaving like a baby.
Baby.
I don't know. Does it a odors? Find out if you can see where he is now.
Okay. I got some
unemployment line?
Grease Man stuff on YouTube.
You do?
Send it to you.
Yeah, send me the link.
All right.
Send me the link.
Some of the best radio over here, Mikey.
Yeah. Yes, I was a big fan of the Grease Man.
Whoa, wait a second.
Yeah, George the guy?
That's wow. Right.
You were?
Yes, I was a fan of his. I was an intern for 4.5 years.
Oh, that's a long time to be an intern, man.
That's right.
Oh.
Let's see.
Ricky Rackman, speaking of, who's calling in right now,
yeah.
He had a crazy way he got fired.
Really?
Yeah, he did radio shows and stuff like that, and he got into a fight with a fellow DJ who was making fun of his girlfriend.
No way.
Yeah.
No. Do you know where?
L.A.
No way. Yeah. When?
It was a couple of years ago, I think. A few years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we really went at it, Mikey. Yeah.
Wait, it wasn't you, Grease.
Not you, Grease Man.
I think it was.
I don't think it was the Grease Man that did that.
Yeah.
Hey, Zeth, is that first one Grease Man?
I believe so, yeah. I'm not sure. I didn't have a chance to listen to it.
I wonder if I could actually play it.
Hey, you might want to preview a mic. I'm a big shot, Jack.
We got Ricky Rackman on the line. Ricky, are you there?
Yeah, how you guys doing? Two whole hours so far. Woo!
2 hours.
We're spent.
That's right.
How do you do it?
After this 26 hours, that's
it?
After this 26 hours and 10 minutes, we only have 26 left.
You know what? I would love to hear hour 25. Or maybe I wouldn't. I don't know.
It's brutal, Ricky.
We get pretty punchy. We get pretty punchy when we're coming up towards the end of it.
I'll bet.
But Ricky Rackman is the host of the VH1 show Rock Love Charm School. And tell us about Charm School, Ricky.
I'm not necessarily the host, which is funny because this is one of the few things I've done where I'm not a host. I'm actually the dean of Charm School, and we've got 14 of the girls from Rock of Love season 1 and 2, and all your favorites from Heather and Lacey and Christy Joe and Brandy C and Brandy M and Destiny. They're all in Charm School. I'm a dean. Daniela Clark, who owns Frankie B. Jeans and is also married to Gilby Clark that was in Guns N' Roses, mm-hmm. is another dean. And the headmaster is Sharon Osbourne.
Oh, really?
Nice. Yes.
And so what is her role as headmaster?
She is the headmaster.
So she's teaching. She's teaching. Is that the...
Sharon makes the final decisions in who goes home and who does not go home.
Right.
And she also, you know, has so much education in various things in life
right.
that she can share with the girls. And there are certain things that I will go out and do with the girls and certain things that maybe Danielle will do with the girls. And we report to Sharon, but I also have a lot of input on everything that happens. And I'm really the only guy that stays in charm school the whole time. So
she's like teaching them how to be charming and everything.
Exactly. And who better than Sharon Osbourne?
Of course.
Sharon Osbourne is great. Because Sharon Osbourne is somebody, I mean, even, you know, because I've dealt with her back from the Headbangers Ball days, that Sharon Osbourne was someone that was not a powerful woman in the music industry, a powerful person in the music industry. And she was someone that was always to be respected. And she's also someone that has no problem saying exactly what's on her mind.
That's true.
And she does that in charm school, as we all do. I mean, it's great.
Do you have any crazy Sharon Osbourne stories from back in the day when you were working with her, when you would see her on Headbangers Ball? Well, not working with her, but when you knew her back in those days, was there any stuff that you saw from her that was like real crazy stuff?